Hello, I'm Hal Lublin.
And I'm Mark Gagliardi.
Since the dawn of humanity, one issue has gone unsettled. With the fate of the world in the balance, we're here to settle once and for all. English or American breakfast.
That's right. Don't worry, everyone. We got this.
Podcasts should have a theme song.
Podcasts should not have a theme song.
Yes, they should.
No, they shouldn't.
They sound good.
Yeah, but people are just going to skip past it.
You know what?
You're right. We got this.
Well, Hal, here we are once again talking about food.
And doing it from our homes.
That's
two of
right.
Our favorite things, eating yeah. and not going anywhere. That's me, though. You like to go out.
I
you
do. Like this whole thing like is driving me crazy.
I think I got monkey's pawed by this whole thing because now I can't leave home. And now I look out the window longingly, even though it's miserable out right now. It's cold. It's rainy. And I'm like, I wish I could just kneel down in front of it like it's the end of the Shawshank Redemption. That's all I want right now.
You look, you can get out there just as long as the prison guards are more than 6 feet away.
That's the problem, is they're right on top of you.
Yeah, they always are, my friend. They always are. But we're not here to talk about prison guards.
No.
We're talking breakfast once again. This is full English breakfast versus classic American breakfast. And what better guest to have on our show with two Americans than a proper Englishman, my co-star from Blood and Treasure. You might also know him from Battlestar Galactica. It's James Callis. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you, guys. Yeah, I'm very, very excited to discuss this topic.
Good. How's your quarantine going, buddy?
How is my quarantine going?
That well, huh?
Well, you know, I was explaining to a few friends that being at home, looking at ideas or scripts or listening to current news programs isn't vastly different from my usual life if I'm not on a film set.
So just chilling at home and so it's, cooking.
I think everybody, it's just kind of hoping that it's not the apocalypse and kind of watching it from home. Although I have to say that I find immersing yourself in lots of other things, if you're able, is a tuning into the news every second is kind of it's self-defeating.
Yeah.
Having done it, you're just like tuning in. There's not all that much that every, you know, so less checking in on the news is possibly a good thing if you're feeling okay.
I want to be a person that can only check in, like just turn on the evening news and get it, you know, get the digest version. But it turns out I'm not good with the digest version and I just need to consume it all day on in the background because I think I'm missing something if I don't.
Yeah. I just, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Good.
No, me neither.
What's occupying your time?
Yeah. What are you doing?
What am I doing? I'm listening to loads of things and, I'm kind of using this time in some fashion, like library time, like the stuff that I never did when I was at college. And so kind of exploring
right.
ideas or things that on a normal day, if I knew what I was going to be doing, you know, from one moment to the next, I wouldn't be tuning in to, say, for example, watch a concert by Vladimir Horowitz.
Right.
But for example, I did.
But now you have the time.
I had the time. So I watched him play Rachmaninoff's Third. And by this stage, he must have been something like, well, he looked like he was in his 70s.
This wasn't a live video then.
Not live. He's not alive anymore. But it
was, I'm showing my ignorance of who this guy is.
Oh, look. So he was one of the, considered to be one of the best pianists in the world. And, he was born in Russia and then, made it to America and settled in the States and toured round. And he had a very unusual, very kind of unflamboyant style. His fingers are kind of placed directly over the keys. And actually, well, possibly that's just the Rachmaninoff because Rachmaninoff used to play that way. Because Rachmaninoff was huge and had like hands, like spades, like shovels.
By the way, now when I'm thinking about Rachmaninoff, I'm thinking of Lurch from the Addams Family sitting down at that piano.
Well, that's not very flattering, but he was like 6'4" or something. Mm-hmm. He was a big guy. And I was just thinking about, I don't know, I've been listening to like what other people would have on their Desert Island Disc or something.
Mm-hmm.
And just coming back to Rachmaninoff 2 and 3, thinking that they are incredible pieces of music.
You know what makes me very excited for this episode, James, is that you're talking about using this time to enrich yourself artistically. You're listening to a great classical pianist play Rachmaninoff. Meanwhile, I've been on Mark day and night to watch Tiger King. I can't stop trying to get him to watch it. I'm like, no, you don't get, he bleaches part of his mullet, but not all of it. Meanwhile, you're like, he played like Rachmaninoff. I don't know any of this stuff. And that's going to show through, I think, in the breakfast as well.
Hal, I already watched Tiger King.
Oh, good. I was going to ask, what did you think? What did you think of Tiger King?
I think so many things. I think, first of all, it's an incredible documentary.
Yes.
I think it's brilliantly made. I think that there's so many angles in there. And despite the fact that so many people in it are, I think I described in a tweet today, deranged in the membrane. There's a lot of humanity in the way that this thing is happened. So I think that people with personality, if you stick a camera in front of them, you've got a series. You've got there's mystery, there's history, there's quirks, there's idiosyncrasies. And in these particular cases, who needs not just like one cat, big cat, like a tiger or a lion, yeah, but who needs like, 50 of them or 100? To bolster themselves in some fashion, because it is about the cult of a personality. A lot of these peoples in these parks, and they range from, I get the impression like all of them at some point were teased or something as kids.
Yeah.
And that they were like, you're really pathetic and you're not going anywhere. And then
I'll show you. I'll buy you a tiger.
I'm going to stick myself in a cage with tigers.
Yes, good Lord.
And I mean, maybe that's unfair because I have no idea. But they are unbelievable characters.
You got a little bit of an idea, I think. You got some inclination.
It's pretty laid bare for you how horrific all of these people are. And obviously they're all damaged in some way, but I keep thinking there are a ton of animals that just didn't make the cut, and they were probably excited. Like they're telling their friends, I'm going to be on Netflix. It's like, it's 7 episodes. I heard I'm going to be at least 2. The producer said for sure 1. And then there's this liger sitting with his family around the television going, I don't know. I don't know what happened, but we don't have to watch the rest of this. Do you want to play Boggle?
I'm just thinking now that they could have, like, because we're finding out as well now that tigers, animal, at the zoo, they tested the tiger and the tiger had COVID.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bronx Zoo, I think, right?
I think that's for people who are waiting, for product and stuff, they could just like take pictures, not pictures, videos of like the tigers and then dub in voices. It could be like, the zoo version of Big Brother during COVID.
they have no idea what's been going.
Yeah.
Completely closed off from the outside world.
Exactly.
I can't wait for the animated series of Tiger King. That's just all of those. It's like Muppet Babies, but it's all of these weirdos animals in their pens.
Oh my God.
Well, all right. Maybe I'll watch it. Good.
There we go.
I know.
Finally.
All right. Let's talk breakfast, gentlemen.
Yes.
James, I'm sure our listeners can tell by your voice, you are an Englishman. What is an English breakfast to an Englishman? Is it a weekly thing? Is it like a Sunday roast? Is this what you would have every morning? Is this a diner breakfast? What makes a full English breakfast?
I think that's a good question.
Thank you. I wrote all of them down beforehand.
I don't believe that the full English breakfast is something that you have every day. I mean, you could do, but I don't know if, like a lot of things, that necessarily be good for you.
Sure. So, you'd look like Churchill toward the end.
And I think that as well, I'm kind of freewheeling here or, thoughts off the top of my head.
That's what we do.
I would imagine that, this thing is better if it's served to you rather than necessarily you making it yourself, although you
right.
can. So then this makes the only time I would have like a full English breakfast. I mean, I do have it at home occasionally, mm-hmm. but very occasionally. So the time that you would have it is at a hotel or, you know, something like that.
Okay.
And it would possibly be on a weekend. And this is all from the top of my head because I'm not sure that that's traditionally true. But so what it comprises of is two fried eggs mm-hmm. and bacon and sausages and a choice of toast,
mm-hmm.
baked beans, tomatoes, mushrooms, black pudding, which I'll come to later.
Oh, Lordy.
And the toast comes with, you know, condiments like marmalade and jam, mm-hmm. and there's tea and coffee. And I suppose a full English breakfast as well would serve you kippers, which are...
Would serve what?
Kippers, which are essentially smoked okay. herrings. Salted and smoked
oh, wow.
over wood chip. That's very, very traditional English breakfast. And if you eat like that in the morning, you genuinely don't need to eat anything else for the rest of the day.
Sure. Yeah, and if you eat that every morning, you will die.
I think that's, it's not good for you.
That's yeah.
True,
though. That's a lot of extra blood if you're doing it every day.
It's not good for you every day. But actually, mostly it's a source of, it's very high in protein.
Yeah.
And it's also quite high in fats.
Mm-hmm.
So traditionally as well, if you've drunk too much the night before, this is a fantastic meal to get you back on track, possibly with, you know, a Bellini.
Sure. Look, a little bit of the hair of the dog that bit you. And then the blood of the dog and the sausages.
Oh, well, I mean, the black pudding is, you know, they used to call sausages bags of mystery, apparently, because nobody was totally sure what was inside them.
Sure.
And
or what even the bag was.
Yes. But the black pudding is particularly, you know, you can look it up, guys. I won't say.
Oh, look, I don't hate black pudding. I've had it and I actually kind of enjoyed it. It's very irony.
Oh,
I agree. Oh,
you don't
oh
I'm
looking at it.
Is, if you don't think about what it is, it's actually... a tiny portion of it. So you've got all of that food on the plate and tea, coffee, and juice. That's a pretty incredible send-off.
Yeah, that's a... Boy, that's a nice way to start a day. That's a special way to start a day.
Yeah.
I feel like the American version, I think what we'll use is the classic diner breakfast.
Okay.
Which would be... two eggs, two bacon, two sausage, hash browns, toast. Yes?
Pancakes.
Pancakes.
You can have, I mean...
You can add some pancakes on the
both,
side.
Right?
Yeah.
Or you can have hash browns and pancakes.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, look, some restaurants encourage it. Here's my question. Now, because I do want to dig into the English breakfast, but I'm curious, what was your first experience in America with like the big American breakfast? And what did you think coming from a place where there is like a big sometimes breakfast or once a week? How did this stack up for you the first time that you had it? What were your thoughts?
So, I was born in the 70s, and I think that, you know, around the end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s, things dramatically changed in England, and our attitudes to food, our attitudes to service, our attitudes to what you could get. I just, if you talked about English food or English cuisine, I think in the 70s, it wasn't flattering.
Right.
You know, there'd be right. all these jokes about like, I won't go into it totally. You know, if it was heaven, then, you know, the lovers are Italian and everything's run by the Germans. And I forget, you know, what great things the English can do. But like, if you're in hell, the cooks are English, apparently.
Sure.
Not great kind of fare. I came to America when I was 14 years old and we were at a hotel in Miami. And I just remember being awestruck by the size of the plates. I honestly had never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
And I was with my grandfather at the time who was having heart surgery. He was about to have heart surgery, which is why we were in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And he had chosen for himself the classic American breakfast
oh.
with steak and chips.
Oh yeah.
As well.
Sure.
Wow.
That's a hearty breakfast.
Ooh. I remember, at 14, you've got like all of these 14-year-old questions in your mind, like, are they allowed to have steak in the morning? Is that a thing? I mean, who has steak in the morning? That's like a lunchtime food. It's a dinner food. You don't have steak in the morning, do you? There was a thing.
Oh, steak and eggs is a thing, man.
Yeah, you can have anything you want in the States. We don't do that quite in the UK.
It does feel like that. That seems like it is an American thing. The eat whatever you want, whenever you want. Like when we went to Italy last year for the show and they were like, oh yeah, don't order a cappuccino with breakfast. The cappuccino is the breakfast, and don't order one after 10 a.m. You're like, what if I want a cappuccino at like 2 p.m?
And was this a kind of like Jobsworthy kind of like, you know, you can only have something on one day that you find in certain European hotels? It's unusual, but yeah, I've encountered it.
It's very strange. Like, I don't know. I guess we're so used to the idea of more, faster, and whatever, whenever, however we want it.
Yeah.
But let's break down the two breakfasts, because that actually gives me a good segue into one way I wanted to do this. What I'd like to look at is I'd like to break down each of the elements and see who wins when each element is toe-to-toe against each other, because they are quite similar breakfasts. So I'm figuring if we pit the eggs against each other, we pit the sausages against each other, the bacon against each other, and then the toast, and then the sides. So I will lump the hash browns as the sides for the hash browns and pancakes on the American side, and tomatoes, mushrooms, and beans as the sides.
Baked beans, yes.
Baked beans.
I should have added that I believe that you can get kind of like potato croquettes, which is like our version of hash browns.
But it's not like the way it is here, where two-thirds of the plate is a giant mound of hash browns.
Mm. No.
Like that's like three whole potatoes.
No, it's not.
But going to the idea of we want whatever we want, whenever and however, let's start with the eggs. Because in a traditional English breakfast, correct me if I'm wrong, but the eggs are always sunny side up. Yes? Generally?
No.
No. Okay.
Not necessarily. In a traditional English breakfast, you can have three types of eggs in a traditional English breakfast. They can be scrambled. They will be poached, or they may be fried, but you will be given that option. I think now, because of the American breakfast, more and more people have fried eggs and sunny side up. But I think that the preference might be poached eggs in the UK, because that's more traditional. That's what they used to do.
Oh, okay.
And is that so you can like break the yolk and mix it all up?
I imagine it's because of the way that they're made. Like, now we've got like, Tupperware plasticky kind of things to crack your egg into. Mm-hmm. But obviously the chefs crack an egg into boiling water and whisk the water with a tiny bit of vinegar. And that's how they make your, I believe that's the traditional way. And that might have been easier, like earlier in time than frying, I wonder.
And also previous to the 70s, everything in Britain was cooked by just putting it in boiling water.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
Okay, so that defeats where I was going with that, which I thought that American versatility would give it the edge on the eggs. I erroneously had, the internet had failed me in that the eggs were always sunny up. What is your preferred egg style, James?
I mean, growing up as a kid, we called it boiled egg with soldiers. Did you guys do that in the States?
No.
Soldiers. Tell me more.
Okay, boiled egg with soldiers is basically a boiled egg. And it's a piece of toast, but the piece of toast is cut into digit-like sections in which you can dunk your toast into the boiled egg.
Oh, that's smart.
The soldiers.
Oh, I love
that. So it's called boiled egg with soldiers. And when
is this a soft-boiled egg on that one of those little one of those little pedestals?
Indeed, that's exactly what it is. It's a soft-boiled egg on a pedestal or an egg cup, and the bread's cut up into it's five little bits lengthways that make it look like a finger, and those are called the soldiers.
I can't tell if this is a fancy thing that would be in a tea room in England or something that your parents invented for you?
I think it's pretty universal.
This is something that everybody would know what this was, right?
You know, it's like, right, I'm like desperately trying to check my phone right now. It's like, my God, what have I said? I'm pretty sure boiled egg and sausages is a thing.
And that's actually named after World War I when the Germans would flood the trenches with egg yolks. Yeah, to try and kill.
I don't believe that's true.
No,
boiled
well,
egg and soldiers.
I mean, I don't have the internet, but I'm pretty sure. Is it just your photo album of when you were a child getting boiled egg and soldiers?
Okay. Now, as far as I'm reading off the internet... Now, as far as soldiers go, if you're from the UK, there's no explanation needed. But for everyone else, when soft-boiled eggs are served to little ones in Britain, the toast is cut into long strips, which everyone calls soldiers.
That is fantastic.
Apparently because they're so straight.
Ah.
Oh, they're because they're like standing at attention. I get it.
So that's, yeah, so not just us.
I didn't know if this was some sort of Cockney rhyming slang thing.
It's not, although there's a lot of that as well.
Though, James, will you just indulge us a couple of the better of the Cockney rhyming slang? Because you would periodically you will say something and I'll go, what? And you'd be like, oh, right, that's Cockney rhyming slang.
Cockney rhyming slang. Well, the idea behind – there's a misconception that people who don't totally enunciate all of the words speak Cockney. Which is not true. Cockney is an argo, is a specific language, a rhyming slang. So, for example, a suit is called a whistle and flute. But to the people in the know, you don't say the bit that rhymes. So if you see somebody who's wearing a nice suit, you might say, that's a nice whistle.
See, this is bonkers to me.
So you're like saying, that's a nice whistle, which means that's a nice whistle and flute, which means that's a nice suit.
So if this is...
another one is like somebody's just been to the hairdresser and they, you know, they've had a nice haircut. So you might say nice barnet, because barnet is barnet fair, which is hair. So nice hair. Things like, I mean, it goes on and on. There are, I imagine, thousands. And they're quite... You know, they're in common parlance in the UK as a kind of, I don't know, shared experience of like, so for example, a cup of tea is called Rosie Lee. And many people, doesn't matter about your background, might say, I'll have a nice cup of Rosie or a nice cup of Rosie Lee.
It's the idea that there is a language that exists that just takes another language and uses their words, but like for a different meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, tea, if there was a Google Translate from Cockney to English or from English to Cockney and you put tea in there, it would pop up Rosie. Or if you put suit, it would pop up whistle. It seems like your computer's malfunctioning.
I suppose it's, yeah. It's, yeah. I mean, there's so many great ones like, let's have a butcher's.
Butcher. This one, I remember you saying this one before and I went, what?
Yeah, let's have a butcher's. Butcher's hook, look. Let's have a look. Let's have a butcher's.
Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's...
yeah. Oh, you want to try out this restaurant? Let's have a butcher's.
Yeah. That's
right?
That's what somebody might say, genuinely. Excuse me while I just...
I just love that an entire group of people have accepted this as like, this is how it is. It's great. I don't think there's anything... I mean, it is bonkers, but like, there's no point... There was no point for you growing up where you were like, hold on, this might not make sense.
No, I think
it was just like, it was accepted.
I don't know if this is, I don't know if this is true, but I'd imagine that initially it was a way of talking in front of people that don't know what you're talking about and being able to discuss things with a strange kind of liberty because nobody else knew what you were talking about. And that could have been tremendously useful to, certain groups.
Sure. Cockney spies.
Okay.
They're called catchers because catcher in the rye rhymes with spy.
Right.
Ah, look at that. Well done, Hal.
Thank you.
All right. Let's get back to breakfast, gents.
Okay.
So breaking this down by category, we're talking about the eggs. Is this a wash? Is this an egg wash? Does anyone have the edge in the egg category?
I can't say they do. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like that's a wash. All right. Let's talk sausages.
I wish we could talk about cereal, but cereal's not involved in either of these breakfasts.
No, cereal is part of a balanced breakfast.
I read that cereal was included in a full American breakfast. Is that not true?
Oh, it can be. I guess you can have you can have oatmeal or cream of wheat, but nobody's bringing Cheerios. Well, I guess they could bring Cheerios. Here's a fun game. I'll give each of you one guess.
Okay.
How many this? And I've been not hoarding, but I've been ordering stuff just to see what is getting through. Mm-hmm. How many boxes of Fruity Pebbles do you think I have in my house right now?
I'm gonna guess 4.
Okay, that's 4 for you, James. What do you think?
Fruity Pebbles is a breakfast cereal, is it?
Yes. Kind of. It's more of a flaky candy.
It's just sugar.
It's just a box of sugar that Kellogg's makes.
Yeah.
Something crazy. I don't know. 10 boxes.
The answer is 5. Mark was very close.
I
wish I had 10. I started hoarding cereal because I was afraid I wouldn't be able to go out to get it. And that is my cereal update. And it's very sad. And I wish I could tell Ken to edit it out, but I hope he keeps it in there because I live my life out loud. I'm an influencer. What can I say? Sorry. Moving on to this actual breakfast.
Right. Let's pit the sausages against one another.
Okay.
America, you've got basically two different kinds. You've got, it's always pork sausage. Or most often in the traditional classic American breakfast, it's pork sausage, either patties or links. England, you've got bangers and blood pudding, which is a sausage, right?
Yes, although I have had it served as a kind of patty as well.
Yeah, but like a flat disc, which I will consider sausage because of American patty sausage.
Like, I've had black pudding served as like a sausage, and I've had it served as a patty in the UK.
Yeah, you either get like a smaller version of a full sausage, or you get the giant sausages. They've taken like hunks. Like, yeah, it's like I'm looking at pictures. Most of the pictures I'm seeing are a disc.
Mm.
Have you ever had Scrapple, James?
You're such a Philadelphian. I love you.
Scrapple.
No. Yeah.
Oh my God.
If ever you find yourself in Philadelphia or in Pennsylvania, anywhere in Pennsylvania, get Scrapple with your breakfast. It is a gray hash. It's basically they took all the parts of the pig nobody would ever want.
Never, ever read the ingredients in a package of Scrapple.
That's true of anything. If I read any of the ingredients on those Fruity Pebbles, I would feel a little bit bad while I was eating them.
I don't know, man. I don't think the Fruity Pebbles first ingredient is pork hearts.
Actually, let me look. Yep, it sure is.
Do not eat that cereal, Hal.
Yummy.
Well, they were cavemen. That's what they like to eat.
Although this is totally different kind of thing, that when we were in Montreal, they have a traditional breakfast for the Quebecois, which is called creton. Did you ever try this, Mark?
I don't know that I ever did. What is creton?
Creton is absolutely delicious. It's a kind of pâté. It's a kind of terrine. And you put it on toast, and they would serve it to you in the morning. If you ask for a traditional breakfast or a full breakfast, whether it was, in fact, they didn't stipulate whether it was American or English or Canadian, just a full breakfast, then this came, and it was served in a kind of a little dish, and it was just basically like pâté. Coarse terrine, but delicious. Creton.
See, this is the difference between you and me, James, and this is why I respect the hell out of you, is when I would get to work, I would just be like, just give me a wrap. Give me like a breakfast wrap. You get there and you're like, oh, no. I would like the full Quebecois breakfast, please.
No, this was Mark. This was not at work.
I thought you meant this was at work. I thought this was a work thing.
Well, I'm sure that we could have rustled some up at work, but this would be like on a weekend or.
Oh, I'm thinking, I was like, where did he get this fancy breakfast at work?
Creton. Yeah, it was delicious.
Creton. I did have my Montreal bagel frequently. I do like those. Not as good as a New York bagel, but a very good and very different thing. So let's talk about these sausages. What is a banger? A banger is pork sausage as well?
Yeah, essentially.
But there would you usually just have one kind of sausage, or would you have multiple kinds of sausages on a plate?
I remember growing up that it was like, you know, there were several rashers of bacon and and two sausages, and that was just standard. And then as things have progressed now, like people ask you, it's like, would you like, you know, sausage or bacon? You're like, I'm normally like, I'd like both, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a pro. I want a proper breakfast. I want both.
I want to feel alive. Here's what I love about bangers is every single picture of these are the same. They look like Freddy Krueger's fingers. And they're huge. That's like the best part. That was like one of my favorite things the last time I was in England, which was decades ago, was having bangers and mash. And being able to have them at breakfast is like, it's so much. Our sausages are so, they're so like little puny. They're like little tiny puny sausages. And then you get the patties, which are a million times worse. Because it feels like they couldn't bother to put it. It doesn't even, it's not even like a blood pudding where it has like part of the casing around it. It's just like, oh, we didn't bother to put a casing in it. We just made a hamburger out of sausage.
You know,
hope you'll eat it.
I mean, maybe it's better without the casing. I'm kind of like speaking against my own cause. I just, I would just, for example, like the first time I had like a sausage as a patty was like a fast food place like McDonald's or.
Sure.
You know, I was like, what?
You can't put a sausage link on a sausage McMuffin.
The breakfast sandwich. I was like, wow, this is a sausage, but it's looks like a hamburger.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, America does some things right, my man.
Yeah. Look, we turn vegetables into hamburgers. We'll do anything. We do not care.
We will make any food into a hamburger.
Yeah. Give us your precious national food and we'll put it into a burger press.
Yeah.
We'll show you how it's done.
Fantastic.
We're McDonald's.
Exactly. It's like the full American whatever McMuffin burger.
Yeah. The full American breakfast includes a burger of some sort.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's, that's true. And actually as well, it's kind of the best sausages are slightly, I think you might use the adjective gamey, as in they're kind of, like in England, there's a whole thing about like in England, we like Irish sausages. I'm not necessarily sure why, but that might be about the pork inside them or the way it's made.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of as well herbs go into like a, you know, a big banger.
Mm-hmm.
Very satisfying.
Yeah, I think England's sausage game is way more on point than America's is, breakfast-wise.
Okay. Yeah.
Though we do have the burger patty version of sausage.
We got the sausage.
Yeah, you definitely. And we'll include blood pudding in that.
Yeah, I mean, that depending on your... I've had that served to me in some places, and that's almost put me off, like, the rest of the food on the plate.
Oh, you're not a fan of it, huh?
No, I'm really not. I'm like, with the sausage, I'm like, this. Well, as well, it's like, you know, with the sausage and the baked beans and the mushrooms and the onions, and it's like, wow, too much already.
Yeah, that's Montreal style right there. Just put foie gras on top of a steak.
Oh, my God.
You know the style of horror films where they cut away to a bunch of disturbing images and it's like, you know, like a clown and all this stuff? I feel like a close-up of this black pudding would be included in one of those montages. Like, cause I'm like, every picture I'm seeing of it, it's from a distance and I don't want it. It feels like it's too close to me. Just being on the screen.
I think a lot of places have kind of stopped serving it.
Mm-hmm. While we're talking about meat, let's, we'll take a break after this and then move to the back half of it.
Sure.
But I want to talk about English bacon because, the bacon that you have in your home country, again, correct me if I'm wrong. It already happened once. It's not pork belly bacon. It's back bacon, right? So this is where it's like a little bit of the loin is on there. So it doesn't look the same as the American bacon.
I couldn't tell you, Mark. I really couldn't tell you. I have no idea.
But it looks fair enough. All right. Let me ask you this. Do you remember it being crispy or do you remember it not being crispy?
Actually, in most places, even where we just were together in Thailand, they make it several styles so that you can have it really crispy or you can have it less crispy.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to think. I mean, I would say that traditional English breakfast kind of depends where you are, actually. Yeah. I've had it served where it's like totally, as it were, desiccated, dry. Mm-hmm. And I've had it served where, you know, less so, where there's a bit more juices, fats on the bacon.
Do you prefer one style over another?
I prefer it. I prefer it drier, I think, than. I think as well, there's a thing about you just in England, in England, I think a lot of people in the UK like their food like really well done. They want to know that it's cooked. Right. There have been so many scares over the years with,
look, you guys have been around for a long time. There have been plagues and shit.
So many scares over the years with things that, you know, are not totally cooked, especially, for example, pork products. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the last thing you want to get is a tapeworm. So I think that that's possibly why, like, when we, that's a thing that we do when we come to restaurants here, we will always ask for something to be, you know, well done. Mm-hmm. Because we know that that means around medium in,
sure.
in the States.
Wait, if an American well done is an English medium, how far do you go? I mean, is it just like, are they basically handing you a charcoal briquette?
No, I'm exaggerating slightly, but I'm just saying that if you ask for medium here in the States, mm-hmm. then it tends to come in just a touch like medium rare.
Yeah.
Not blue.
Yeah.
But like, not like, medium in the UK means fully cooked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then obviously well done, like you say, over here and in the UK. No, over here, well done might mean burnt, like you say, like a charcoal crisp.
Yeah.
But well done in England would be like, you know, several degrees beyond medium. I can't believe what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Thoroughly cooked. Is really what it means. Cooked, I want it thoroughly cooked.
Yes.
Yeah.
That Americans are like, I just want a plate of ash that I can wet my finger and lick.
Yeah.
Repeatedly. That's all I want.
Like a char dip 'em stick or lick-a-maid.
Mark, what do you think? We've all had both versions.
Yeah.
Of bacon. The American is like a fatty strip generally. Yeah. And this bacon is a lot closer to a ham. It is a thicker. Like it is closer to a back bacon or belly, like a pork belly. Do you have a preference?
I prefer belly bacon to back bacon, American bacon to English, because maybe it's just because it's what I grew up on, but like, and I know that the world has been oversaturated with the image and flavors of American bacon for a very long time, but I think there's a reason for that. I think our bacon is the perfect amount, especially when it's cooked well and crispy. It's the perfect amount of fat, the perfect amount of smoke, the perfect amount of salt, and it's just an indulgent little flavor bomb. Not that I don't thoroughly enjoy the leanness of English back bacon, but yeah, there's I think America takes this one.
Mark, I'm remembering. I think do you remember the little Christmas gift I got you?
I do. The bacon recipe cards.
Did I know Mark so well?
Yeah. Look, man, I love to cook, and you know, I love my Americana, and you know, I love my bacon.
Yeah, that was cool.
There's some pretty great recipes in there too. I want to talk briefly before we take a little break, and then we'll come out and get the rest of them. You and I, James, just, were shooting in Thailand, and that place every morning had the world's most epic breakfast buffet. Like, you know, Hal and longtime listeners know I love me a buffet. I live anywhere. The days of the buffet may be numbered now, but I do love me a good buffet. Same. And they had food from all over the world. There's a delicious Asian breakfast treat called congee. Did you ever do the congee, James?
I never did. I did not. No.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's shredded meat and an egg with porridge poured over the top and then a million frequently very spicy condiments. And it makes your breath smell terrible for a whole day.
Wow.
But I don't care because it is a wonderful Thai breakfast. And if anyone knows where I can get that here.
Yeah.
Please let me know.
Answers on a postcard or not.
Right. Yeah.
No, the breakfast at the hotel in Thailand, actually at most of the hotels in Thailand where we stayed was pretty fantastic.
Yeah. What do you reach for when you go to when you get breakfast? Generally speaking.
I'm not a big foodie, and I'm one of those people that was, the food really bored me because food meant like sitting down, for a longer time somewhere. So
yeah.
I've just been, even now, like, not so young, still more of a snacker than somebody. It's all wrong. I just, I never understood about that kind of the wholesome way. Despite the fact that I was brought up this way, that, you know, let's all sit down and you spend a little time in a meal and then you digest it and then there's the next one, et cetera. I like, you know, so for example, I never liked dessert. I never liked dessert because that just meant,
you just killed Hal.
No, I never liked dessert because that just meant longer at the table. I was like, God, how long are we going to be here? I've got to go.
James, I'll tell you what. When this is all over, we'll go out to dinner together. I'm going to show you how to tear through a plate. And then we'll have a big dessert. I promise we're out of there in a half hour and then we can do something else.
I can't wait. Quarantine be over really soon. Let's do that.
That's right?
Yeah. So much fun.
Oh, it's quarantine sure. Be damned. Let's go right now.
Come on.
So I was not into, food in a big way. Food was just as a kind of, as if I was like some kind of soldier constantly needed. It's like, just on a kind of supply and demand basis.
Sure.
This is what I need right now to get through, which has been coffee and Cheetos for the longest time.
Oh, my God. I'm just picturing tiny James Callis with coffee and Cheetos.
Well, we didn't have Cheetos back in the UK, back in the day.
Or what was your crisp of choice?
Oh, we had so many different... We had these, we had a thing called Monster Munch. Can you get that? Yeah, I think you can get Monster Munch here.
Can you?
Yeah, I think you can. Monster
Maybe in Santa Monica.
And something, and something called Skips, which was a prawn cocktail flavor. And when we were kids, this is really funny. When we were kids, you'd like be in the schoolyard. I wonder if, I don't know, I think I've asked some guys over here, you guys didn't do this kind of thing. And you'd go up to somebody and you'd say, if you give me a crisp, I'll be your best friend.
That's how Mark and I met.
Yeah.
That's how he got me.
I had a bag of Doritos.
Uh-huh.
And then I walked up to Hal because he seemed nice.
You didn't do that. You go, that's quite a kind of classic 70s thing that you would be in the schoolyard and you'd walk over to somebody and you'd say, whatever they had, like chocolate or chips. And you'd say, can I have one of those? And if you give me one, I'll be your best friend.
Yep.
I do remember doing that.
Yeah.
But I remember it tripping off the tongue faster and less, not ever being taken seriously, more like it was an idiom. Hey, please. Oh, come on, man. Be your best friend.
Yeah. There's a music to it. Yeah. Your best friend. It always goes in that direction.
The earnestness of, I will be your best friend. Like if I had used that earnestness, I guess, like, hey man, will you help me with homework? Right. Come on, man. No, I will be your best friend.
You're right. It was, I imagine, suitably less intense.
No, you go as intense as you want.
Yeah, that's right.
If you give me a crisp, I'll stand next to you at your wedding.
I would love if all idioms were delivered with that kind of intensity.
That's right. Or maybe you wouldn't.
All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll talk about toast and sides. Okay.
Yeah.
But until then, here are a few of the other wonderful shows on the Maximum Fun Network.
Hey, you've reached Dr. Game Show. Leave your message after the beep.
Hi, this is Sarah, and I'd like to tell you about Dr. Game Show. Dr. Game Show is a band of geniuses or nerds or brilliant artists or kids or some combination of all of those who get together to make a show like no other that's family friendly. It's an interactive call-in game show podcast. When I found Dr. Game Show, I found joy. I told my friends and family that if they weren't listening, they were wasting joy. I sent them the episodes that made me laugh until I cried, played it for them in the car. They laughed too, laughed their butts off, but they still don't listen on their own. So they're wasting joy. And I keep looking for someone to understand me. Maybe it's you. Give Dr. Game Show a listen and find joy.
Listen to Dr. Game Show on Maximum Fun. New episodes every other Wednesday.
Hey everyone, it's I, John Hodgman of the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
And I, Elliot Kalin of the Flophouse podcast.
And we've made a whole new podcast, a 12-episode special mini-series called iPodius, in which we recap, discuss, and explore the very famous 1976 BBC miniseries about ancient Rome called I, Claudius. We've got incredible guests such as Gillian Jacobs, Paul F. Tompkins, as well as star of I, Claudius, Sir Patrick Stewart, and his son, non-Sir Daniel Stewart.
Don't worry, Dan, you'll get there someday.
I, Claudius is the name of the show. Every week from MaximumFun.org for only 12 weeks. Get them at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. All right. Let's talk about toast. Describe English toast to me. We all know what French toast is.
It's hot bread.
Guys, first of all, when you just said that, Mark, Mm-hmm. Let's talk about toast.
Mm-hmm.
That just made me think about salt and pepper.
Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things.
The good things and the bad things that can be. Let's talk about toast.
Which is, by the way, that's kind of our show in a nutshell. Other people talk about sex. Man, we talk about toast.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you know, for the Battlestar fans, I've got a big history with toasters. I just thought I'd throw that in. The thing I wanted to say is that there is a song that I advise people to look at. I'm trying to look at it right now. And it's called Toast. Have you heard it?
I have not heard a song called Toast.
No.
No way. Guys, liberate yourselves.
Is this an English song?
It is.
I just love that Toast has a theme song.
Oh, I know, right? Gosh.
There's a song called Toast. And
is it by Haywood Banks?
You know, I'm looking at this thing. You're quicker than me. I want to bring that up. No, it's when, not by him. It is not.
When did the song come out?
I think it's Paul Young, even. Like before he was, before people knew. Do you guys know who Paul Young is?
I don't know Paul Young.
I think so, maybe.
I think we'll it's 1 second, guys. I'm playing it right now on my telephone just to see if it is this thing.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Right, okay. It's called Toast by Street Band. Okay.
Okay. Then okay.
So everybody has checked this video out, Toast by Street Band, if you've not seen it. And it stars a very young Paul Young. Paul Young is a pop star in the UK. We thought, like, the world. Wherever I lay my hat is my home.
Oh, okay.
Wherever I lay my hat, that's my home. No?
Yeah.
I mean, I believe you.
No, you've not heard the song. Okay. So anyway, they do a song about toast.
1978, Street Band, Toast. Street Band. There you go.
And
okay.
It's all about, like, I like to sit down and have a little bit of toast.
It sounds so gentle.
Oh, it's so great. It's so, so great. Please do watch.
How would Paul Young have his toast? And how would James Callis have his toast?
How would I? Okay, so toast, for the longest time, toast, just, you know, butter on toast.
Mm-hmm.
And frequently now, marmalade on toast. Do you like marmalade?
Orange?
Yeah, orange marmalade. Quite kind of like sour or jam. But I've had a recent addition in the last 20 years, and that is cheese put on top of the marmalade.
Oh, look at you.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was something that was brought into my life by my wife and something that they did.
Oh, right, Neha.
In India, that they used to put cheese on top of the marmalade.
And what kind of cheese would you put on there?
Yeah.
It's any kind of cheese that's kind of shreddable, cheddar.
Okay.
You know, that. Yeah.
And then you re-toast it, like toaster oven?
No, you don't know. You don't have to melt the cheese.
Okay. This is... Look, Mr. Rogers told me to wrap a slice of American cheese around a banana, and I tried it when I was a kid, and it was delicious.
Around a banana?
Yeah. I did it for a long time as a child after that, because Mr. Rogers told me it was cool. And he was the arbiter of cool in my house. It's I imagine what the marmalade and cheese is like. It's like a little bit salty, a little bit sweet. It's got a little pungent sort of kick.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. But this is a specifically Indian thing, though. This is not an English thing.
No, I don't know if it's a specifically Indian thing either.
Or if it's just a Neha's family thing.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when you would eat an English breakfast on one of these fancy weekends, was the toast like dry toaster toast, or was it like griddle fried, like the bread on the outside of a grilled cheese?
No. First one.
So just like proper, okay. Cause I feel like in a diner, it's just, if we're going classic Americana, there is I don't even know if it's butter. It's just sort of a clear yellow goo. And then they slap that thing down on the griddle. And it's, again, just another salt bomb.
Yeah, no, it's no, like toast is toast from a toaster. That's, you know,
by James Callis.
But yeah. I'd know all about that.
is it? Is it thinner? Is English toast, does the bread tend to be sliced thinner than American toast? Or are the images I'm seeing deceiving me because the internet is a filthy liar?
I think that I was just reading or hearing yesterday that bakeries in France are considered essential places of work right now.
Amazing.
Sure.
That's so French.
Well, it is, but I suppose I totally understand it.
Absolutely.
You know, things that make people comfortable and keep you in your comfort zone to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things is that they make baguettes. That's what they do. That's the way that the French, or apparently, you know, so many French people are having their bread, baguette. And in England, we have our sliced loaf. And it's just a slight, you know, it's not, one is not better than the other. It's just culturally slightly different. Mm-hmm. So, more and more we would have, you know, yes, a thin cut. So this is the idea, actually. What would happen is if you're in a kind of hotel in London, or a metropolitan city, the toast will be quite thin, I think. And then if you're in somewhere slightly more Provençal or rural, or you're at a bed and breakfast kind of outside the city, somewhere in the home counties, then the bread is likely to be cut slightly coarser. Maybe because it's not a pre-cut loaf, but it's mm-hmm. somebody who's, as it were, cutting it by hand from something that's made.
That sounds like the country loaf. I would prefer the country loaf to the city loaf.
Yeah.
Is there generally one that you're like, oh, this one is clearly better?
I can't. I mean, for me, actually, I prefer it thinner because there's so much food on the plate already. Once, like, you have a doorstep of bread.
Sure.
Like, oh my gosh.
Look, that's what we do in the United States is we go to a restaurant and before we even get our food, they just bring a basket of bread.
Yeah.
They just fill you with bread.
Yeah. You'll be wanting this.
Yeah.
With as much butter. I hate when I'd rather it be liquid. I hate when the butter's like just an ice ball.
Yeah. You got to melt the butter a little, man.
Were you not prepared to open your restaurant today? Yeah,
did somebody not take the butter out of the fridge early enough?
Animals. Have some decency, restaurants.
Yeah.
My goodness. I'm on the side of, if you're going to, let's say you're doing boiled egg and soldiers. I want like hearty soldiers that I think are going to go in and win me the battle.
So you don't want that thin little weak soldiers.
Yeah. Where a stiff breeze knocks them over.
Yeah. No, like, man. You want those thick country soldiers.
That's the American in me though. It's like, I want more.
Yeah.
I want more bread. I want hot bread more. Thick on my plate so I could dip it in things and put butter in it.
Sir, the bread you're requesting is too thick to fit in our toaster.
Get another toaster. Make it hot in here. I need hot, thick bread.
All right. Just more. Turn the thermostat up. We're just going to leave this bread out for a while.
Thank you.
Who is this guy?
I don't know.
But I love this guy that just appeared. Yeah.
More. He's the American Eater. That's his name.
American Eater.
All right, so who do we give the edge to on toast? It sounds like the English with the...
We've talked about toast, but I mean, in the, as it were, the wider kind of Venn diagram thing,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, as Hal was saying, there's pancakes on the American side. Does that...
That's true. I would put that with...
Isn't that like... That's one of the things that we look at from the UK as kind of like American excess. I'm like, my God, pancakes as well. What are these guys doing? And the cherry on top. And the chocolate dressing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frack?
It's breakfast dessert. Did you just what the frack?
I did, because I was thinking about what you said, Mark.
I love it. Yeah, if we're going to give England the edge on sausages because of the variety... And we are including pancakes in the side bread varieties. I think it's only fair to give this one then to the American breakfast. If we're including pancakes as an option and or other with the toast. And also, you've even got biscuits as well, where I grew up in the South. That will be another option.
Yep, bagels where I grew up in the Northeast. Scones, though. I mean, when I heard that I was getting a biscuit, I was like, I know what a biscuit is. It's like a digestive. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
It's not this. This is a kind of scone or scone or, you know, but you call it a biscuit. I think actually I have put my finger on the button before we're like due to close. And that is that like an American breakfast, certainly my kids would prefer an American breakfast to an English mm-hmm. breakfast because of the choice of pancakes and waffles and things like that.
Yeah.
And like maybe as well, like an American breakfast might include like a milkshake, rather than a coffee. You know, like Oreo chocolate, fudge, peanut butter, something or other. I think my kids yeah. go, well, I know oh. that is something that they, you know, whatever, however the pancakes or the waffles or the things arrive, that's a lot more exciting for them than an English breakfast. So it might be a thing. It's a generational divide, I might say.
Sure.
That's fair. Yeah. A little kid walking up to a buffet is going to return to the table with a very different plate than the average grown up walking to a buffet.
Yeah.
It depends.
Fair enough. All right. So, last category, and that's the sides. In the United States, you've got a big old pile, frequently on a separate plate, of hash browns, either O'Brien sliced or wedged or, usually shredded in the classic American breakfast.
Wait, on its own plate?
You've been to a Waffle House?
Yeah, but do you only eat at Cracker Barrel?
I'm literally wearing a Cracker Barrel t-shirt right now.
I know you are.
We need
a
picture of that.
All right. I'm going to take a picture and I'm texting both of you right now.
No way.
I'm wearing a Cracker Barrel shirt.
You've been to Cracker Barrel, right, James?
Do you know? I'm not sure I have.
Oh, man. It's the greatest.
Put it on your list.
What's happening?
Cracker Barrel is the world's most American Southern, like, can I say cuisine? I can say cuisine.
Yeah.
Wait, sure.
Have they got Cracker Barrel in Los Angeles?
No. The closest one is in Arizona.
Yeah.
No, okay.
I've looked.
What about, for example, Mississippi, Texas?
Oh,
Mississippi, yeah. They'll have hundreds of them.
For okay. sure.
Yeah.
And it's a country store as well, James. So when you walk in the front, it's going to smell like the cheapest scented candles you can imagine, but they're huge. And you'll go through this like tapestry of like mildly offensive woven blankets and prank call tapes from people you've never seen before and Christmas albums from 1992 to get to your table, which will have one of those IQ games where you move pegs around, except you don't want to touch it because it for sure is made like 90% of snot now. And then all the food is brought out on like when you see the trays of food being transported, that's when you know if you thought you saw big plates before, James. You've seen nothing.
Your breakfast is served to you on a platter, like a platter.
I realize that I have not been to Cracker Barrel.
Well, are you James, next time we're all in Atlanta or Pensacola or at a convention in the South.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, we're going to Cracker Barrel. We have all kinds of plans, guys, all kinds of breakfast plans. But aside from the size of the platters, let's look at the sides themselves. The traditional English breakfast has the tomatoes, mushrooms, and beans on the side. Three things that you will – maybe tomatoes, but two things you will definitely not see on an American breakfast menu.
Which ones won't you find on the American breakfast?
Mushrooms and beans.
Okay.
Frequently sliced tomatoes I will see on the side and sometimes order. But I like my mushrooms. I mean, I'll have mushrooms in an omelet. You'll see them in things, but not just as a thing by themselves.
Right.
I like the variety of this, but I don't know that you get the I was going to say I don't know that you get the carb punch of the potatoes to get your day started with that energy. But you do have toast and a million other things on this plate.
I do believe that now you can like, but it's possibly like. Taking from the American breakfast, because I'm not sure that potatoes were necessarily part of the English breakfast beforehand, the mm-hmm. experience. But nowadays you can get kind of like potato croquettes at certain mm-hmm. places for breakfast.
Right.
Yeah.
A thing
traditionally,
that
traditionally we can leave those out.
There's, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there – look, I've had this traditional English breakfast before with the beans. I enjoy beans with breakfast. I think it's quite tasty. Whereas, you know, in the South, you usually have them at a family barbecue with coleslaw and a pulled pork sandwich.
Okay. So you guys like baked beans Is Heinz a big deal here? In the
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Heinz baked beans?
Oh, yeah. Heinz's husband ran for president.
Yes. And Heinz is based in my home state of Pennsylvania. That is
okay,
where...
Okay, so Heinz baked beans is a big deal. It used to be. I'm a kid from the 70s. So, like, baked beans and Marmite, not at the same time. Like, baked beans was something traditionally that you'd have at tea time around 4 o'clock on toast. Do you guys, that's not something you guys
that
really
is,
did.
No.
No. Beans and toast for us, and I know that's a popular dish. Like, when I hear it, I think of my grandparents who lived through the Depression. Like, that was all they could have was beans and toast. But I know that it's, like, actually a meal.
In the 1970s. We're like coming off whatever the 3-day week or whatever it was. So yes, like back in the day, but yeah, beans on toast or what we would call Welsh rabbit or Welsh rabbit. And you guys know Welsh rabbit is essentially cheese on toast, but like melted cheese on toast.
This isn't a Cockney rhyming slang. What does rabbit rhyme with?
That's what I was trying to think.
It's not actually when you're kids, you, what you hear is Welsh rabbit. And you're like, Welsh rabbit? I don't want to eat rabbit. And then you're just told it's called cheese on toast. But
which sounds like an English town.
But it's actually Welsh rabbit. But it sounds like rabbit when people say it. So
R-A-R-E-B-I-T.
Rare bit. Welsh rabbit is essentially melted cheese on toast in the UK. Do not ask me why. But that's what we call it.
Maybe cheese wasn't easily found in Wales, so it was a rare bit of breakfast that you could get.
Brilliant.
Look, I'm spitballing here, guys. Here is what it seems like this comes down to. Based on everything within our conversation, I think the American wins in some categories, English breakfast wins in some categories. It feels like the ultimate or the distillation of the question comes down to, even though their portions are both gigantic, the English breakfast, maybe it's just because it's England and these and my the connotations of that, it seems more refined but with fewer choices, and the American seems like an anything goes free-for-all. Does that seem in any way accurate?
I totally understand what you mean. I think yes, there's kind of it's less structured, the American breakfast, in the sense of, like you say, it's... And that actually reminds me of years ago, somebody nameless I know, but like came from the States to London, and they were like, "I just want to have breakfast with you." And I was, "But I want to have a real British experience." I said, "Like a real British experience, like a breakfast thing." Well, then come to me, and then we'll drive out like onto the motorway, and we'll go to one of the workmen's kind of cafes, you know, by the side of the motorway. That's a real kind of like British breakfast kind of trucker kind of experience.
Yeah.
And the lady came to him with the menu, and she was like, you know, what is it going to be? You know, 2 fried eggs or something. And he started with like, "What I want is, I just want the whites of the eggs, if you don't mind." And
like, oh, sure.
And this lady looked at him like he was an alien.
Oh yeah.
She was like, she didn't even know what the hell he was talking about. Like, just wanted the whites of the eggs. And this glazed look went over her face. She was like, "Look, it's just this on the menu, right? It's just this. You're not, you know, we don't make special requests."
Unreal.
Like that, I think that kind of makes your point, Mark. That like, you know, in America you could say, "Listen, I would like it like this, see?" And in England, if you said that, they'd be like, that's less likely to happen.
Well, does that give the edge to the American breakfast?
I wouldn't say so necessarily.
Well, you're an Englishman.
Exactly. But it's like, because I don't want pancakes at breakfast. I don't want that necessarily. I find, as well, like the English breakfast, let's talk about tradition for a second. You didn't mention the kippers, Mark.
I'm sorry, I forgot about the kippers.
For God's sake.
I forgot about the kippers.
Okay, so I just, that's an interesting point for all of us, because the kipper, this salted thing that is really, really smoky and strong. And if you make them at home, like the house really smells of the fish. But essentially it's a herring. And the interesting thing about that is that when it's smoked like that slightly, it looks a bit like a red herring. Although there is no such thing in nature as a red herring.
Oh, Lord.
And the other thing was, just on tradition sense, that, like, you know, apparently there have been historical notations about the English breakfast since around the 13th century. It's a long time.
All right, I get it. You guys are older.
Well, okay.
That's a good long time to get refined, though.
I suppose, as you said to me beforehand, you know, this reminds me of one of these things, actually, a lot of the things in the list. You guys have seen Educating Rita. Have you seen that film? Do you know that film?
Seen what?
Educating Rita.
No, I know the name of it.
I haven't seen it.
It
stars Julie Walters and Michael Caine, and it's about a girl from the north of the country who goes to an Oxford or Cambridge and becomes slightly different to where she was raised from. And at the end, there's this thing about, like, the people who she goes back home, and they're like, right, so you think, like, when you were with all these people and all that highfalutin stuff, you learnt a better song, huh? You learnt a better song than we sung back in the pub when you were a kid. And she turns around and she goes, no, I didn't learn a better song. I learned a different song.
I like that.
I like that too.
That is really nice. So you're saying the American breakfast is the different song. It's not a better song.
I think, you know, I've certainly been in so many times here, had an American breakfast, and there's something really exciting about that. And you can't, you know, that's... If it comes really nicely, that's like it's a great feeling, right?
Sure. Yeah. That, like, the surprise of something new, hearing a different song.
Also, as well, I just mean that, like, you know, when you go to a restaurant here, or, you know, you're in a hotel because of whatever, and you've asked for that breakfast, I would say, you know, 8 times out of 10, you're pleasantly surprised. It's not like, oh my gosh, what's this? You're like, wow, look at this. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
So actually, Mark, I might say yes. You know, the American breakfast may have the slight edge.
Well, the edge in my mind was for the variety. I feel like you just made a case for the English breakfast to me of don't order the egg whites. Don't ask for this on the side. Don't customize it. This is, you said it came from the 13th century. This is 700 years of crafting a perfect breakfast. Just trust me, you're going to like this. It's like when you go to a restaurant and you just order the chef's special, whatever it is.
You know what you're making me think?
What's that?
You're making me think about this, about the way that food is prepared, about the mindset of somebody that's making the food. It's like, that's everything. There's a whole section in, I think it's, Midnight's Children by Salman Rushdie. He talks about people who make food and when they make food with love and what that. So it reminds me of that weird thing about, it's not what you say, it's the way that you say it. So it's not necessarily about what it is, but the way that it's created or the way that it's done for you. Certainly. You know, when people have a passion for excellence and that's served up in front of you, then on some level, it doesn't matter what it is, huh?
Yeah, you can tell when it's made with love and care.
Yeah, you can tell
pride,
when, for example,
too.
when yes, there's you're like, wow, this is, you know, pretty great. You can tell when it's not as well.
Yeah.
With that lovely, lovely sentiment in mind, I have a hunch. So I'm going to test that hunch.
Oh, boy.
And I'm going to take our temperature and see where we all are on this. Knowing full well that, you know, sometimes it's not a better song and just a different song, yet on this show, we always have to choose the better song.
Okay. Yes.
On the count of three, we will do a countdown. I will say 3, 2, 1, and then we will each say it simultaneously in an attempt to see where we are after this hour of conversation about these two breakfasts.
You know, Mark, before we do that, I just like, can we, I know that like, well, they can edit this out. I just like want really like 30 seconds to try and be independent of myself or like, you know, objective or yes, rather than subjective. When you give us the, like the moment of saying, it's like, I really want to kind of, because when you say, listen, let's decide and we're all going to say it at the same time, I feel that there might be a kind of knee-jerk or axiomatic kind of response to that that doesn't take into account all of the things that we've said. So it's like, can we have like 30 seconds to kind of, you know, really go over the hard drive in your mind of what it is we have all said?
You know what? In 200 some odd episodes of this show, nobody's ever asked us to actually answer these objectively, but I like that. So, let's put 30 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
Well, we just try and think about it. Cause the thing I want like to put into your minds that was like, we kind of glazed over ever so slightly was the mushrooms and the tomatoes and maybe that's it. Mushrooms and tomatoes. Is that going to be a deal breaker? Okay. 30 seconds.
Okay. 30 seconds starting now. All right. Have we all ruminated a bit?
We have a bit.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to count down from three and then we're all going to say what we think it is. Ready? And the words, it's either going to be English or American.
Okay.
Three, two, one. English.
American. Okay, great. I just wanted somebody to say American. I knew it was going to be me. People of the world, for centuries upon centuries, we're now going into eighth straight century of the English breakfast existing, or at least having been referenced. I'm sure it existed long before that. I hate mushrooms. I'm going to say that right now. Don't trust that black pudding. I don't know what you're about. I can't tell. Are those sesame seeds in there, or are they more pig parts? I can't tell from the pictures, and I don't want to get close to it.
Hal, you're issuing a verdict, not a dissent.
I'm just saying, I just want to take it into account for all the other people out there. Is like, he didn't say how gross mushrooms are. I did. Just for me. I know you like them. It's fine. Live your life.
You just said, I mean, you're right. For example, yes, you're so right, because I don't eat the black pudding.
Yeah.
Mostly.
No.
Okay.
If you don't clear your plate, you don't get breakfast dessert. That means no pancakes.
Yeah. How can you have any breakfast dessert if you don't eat your pudding?
Okay.
All right.
I was going along the lines of like, you know, I don't really want pancakes for breakfast and or et cetera.
Sometimes the winner is selected because we don't want the other thing. Sometimes that's just the way it is. They're both very good breakfasts. I've had them both. No big deal. Not to brag. Have had them both. All three of us have. No big deal.
Telling Mark.
Yes.
That one of my favorite experiences was being at a bed and breakfast in England and the south of England. And I was downstairs at breakfast and I asked, and the lady who was the waitress said, "What do you want?" I said, "Could I get a cup of tea, but also could I get some coffee?" And she looked at me and she went, "In the same cup."
Amazing.
And I looked at her and I went, No, thank you. Like a separate cup for the tea and a separate cup for the coffee.
Wow.
If that's okay. Thank you.
You actually stayed in a BBC comedy.
the lady was not being funny. That's what was so funny.
Yeah. Oh.
I want to just hug that lady.
Look, for that lady alone is the reason why the English breakfast wins. Asked and answered. It is the superior breakfast. Sorry, with more is not better. It's a shame.
Not necessarily.
For me it is, but I can objectively see it's not good. Don't do it. Just have the five meats and beans and vegetables and eggs.
American breakfast as well. Very much so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we just you know what? We're going to take you to McDonald's and we're going to get you a sausage patty between two pancakes. They call them McGriddles. Yeah. They're delicious.
You'll love it.
This topic is closed. Thank you, James Callis, for coming on the show and talking with us.
Fun.
This was a blast.
Amazing.
And you can see James this summer, or not this summer, this fall, season two of Blood and Treasure. Is there anything else you want to promote, Brenna?
Yeah.
No, I mean, you can see Mark Gagliardi as well.
And that's true.
I'm looking forward to that that date to look at how we can destroy some dessert, Hal.
Oh. Yes. Maybe. Oh, yeah. We're going to do it. Yeah. I start dinner with an eye on dessert, so I can't wait. I look forward to breaking bread with you. Before we get out of here, do you have like a quick Mark story you can tell?
Wait. Uh-oh.
Quick Mark story I can tell?
Yeah.
Like, tell me more. What kind of Mark story?
I mean, Mark, look, our listeners have a picture of who Mark is in their head, and they're not terribly far off. But, you know, I don't know how many stories he's told you about, like, leaving cars by the side of the road or anything like that. Like, just is there like a funny Mark story you have that's appropriate to tell here?
Not really.
I mean, all right.
Not that it's not appropriate.
No. Don't tell them about you and I getting shaken down by the Thai police.
Oh, well, that one, I suppose, that was a funny one. That's like a both our story. Thank goodness we were both in the story. Otherwise, it might have ended slightly differently.
Yeah, right?
Oh, boy.
Like a few nights before production shut down in Thailand, Mark and I were coming back to the hotel from being at a restaurant, and the car was flagged down, and there was a military checkpoint, and the driver was wearing a face mask, but was by the look of him, was really afraid. And we had been eating and drinking, so we were less afraid. And we were pulled over. And they asked us to get out of the car. And I wouldn't say at gunpoint, although they all had, you know, machine guns and pistols, and a few of them were wearing face masks. And they proceeded to go through our pockets and ask us for anything that we had. And they were like, you know, really shaking us down. And like any good kind of actor, Mark and myself had kept several receipts from, you know, car tabs and things like, you know, buying whatever it was at the supermarket that you would get, like, you know, washing up powder or chewing gum, and you'd have these receipts, and they were going through the receipts as if they might find, I don't know, like some drugs. They didn't find anything, and then they were like, go back in the car. And we got in the car. Well, actually, Mark got in the car.
I got in the car. At that point, James turns to the officers and is like, well, why are you bothering us? And it's like, no, James, no, they said we could go. James,
listen,
we're leaving.
Why are we being stopped? What is the reason for this? What is the reason? And the guy looked at me, I think a bit stunned. But like I say, we've been out, like, you know, eating and drinking, and I wasn't, you know, we knew that we hadn't been doing anything wrong. So I was like, so why have we been stopped? What's the reason? The guy looked at me kind of blank stared. He went, we check you for drug. We check you for gun. We check you for bomb. I was like, okay.
Whoa.
And at that point, then Mark was like, James, they've actually done with us.
Yeah. They said we could go. They said we could leave.
Let's go. Oh. So, but I was really glad that we were there together.
Me too.
Because that would have been significantly more scary had we been by ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm glad that neither of you were broke down palaced, and we're pleased to have you here. Thank you again for joining us.
To discuss the breakfast.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
This topic is closed. Thank you to James Callis. And who suggested the topic, Hal?
This was suggested by Steph.
And thank you, Steph, for the topic. This topic is closed. There are many more to discuss, so please reach out to us on Twitter. Check out the Maximum Fun subreddit, or
you can email us at wegotthispodcast@gmail.com, or talk about your favorite breakfasts at our Facebook group, the greatest place on the internet, facebook.com/groups/wegotthispodcast. Thank you to producer Ken Plume, researcher Kate McManus, graphic designer Uri Kelman, and QA engineer Jen Alba.
And thanks, of course, to our musicians, Jonathan Dinerstein and Mike Furman, for our score and theme song, respectively. And thank you to you, the people of the world, for giving us a chance to sit down with James and talk about breakfast and get us all very hungry. Some of us for pancakes, some of us for smoked herring, but all of us hungry for a good time, and hoping that everybody is having a safe and tolerable time indoors right now. Thank you for giving us a chance to, you know, get rid of some stress and take our minds off things for a little while. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For Hal Lublin, I'm Mark Gagliardi.
For Mark Gagliardi, I'm Hal Lublin. And don't worry, everybody.
We got this.
We got this.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.